searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope.
Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
Love that comforts from heaven.
And good afternoon and welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows me to be here on Wednesdays along with our other broadcasters Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on 800 a.m. and over the WTMR radio app, if you have a smartphone or tablet, or their website at WTMRradio.com. Reminder to think about subscribing to my Substack account. It's not saintsyet.substack.com. You can subscribe for free. Send out links to our radio, the radio recordings from the Wednesday shows each week, along with some commentary. And put out other articles from time to time. Writing a series now each week on the three prayers that often get overlooked. We talked about it on the radio last week. The collect, the prayer at the offertory, and the prayer after communion, and you know, putting that together. So we do have our guest on the line, and John Price is the director of the Fatima Family Apostolate, an accomplished Catholic author who dedicated to promoting devotion to Our Lady of Fatima and deepening the faith of families worldwide. As a convert to the Catholic Church, John brings a passionate and personal perspective to his ministry. John and his wife, Teresa, reside in Hanceville, Alabama, with their 10 children. Welcome to the show, John. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here today. I appreciate being on and being able to talk about our apostle and father's work, and just great to be here with you today.
Appreciate it, John. I know you're a busy guy, especially raising your 10 children. And I think we Sophia had reached out to us because they've helped with the republishing of a book by Father Fox, entitled The Eucharist, Heaven and Earth United. I think it was originally published by the Apostolate, John, and now EWTN has helped with the republishing of the book, and then Sophia Institute helping with the distribution. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, the book was published probably in 2006 or 7, and we decided to reach out to them, and they decided to do this republish and to make it new and to make it good again and to really promote the Eucharist in a bigger way. So we're really appreciative of them for doing that for us and for the listeners, too, to be able to get a copy of this book and to help in their spiritual journey.
So leading up to the republishing of the book, I guess your relationship with Father Fox started a number of years ago around Our Lady of Fatima?
Well, actually, I met Father in 2003, and I was doing some work. I'm technically in the construction industry in real estate, and I was doing some work on his house. A friend of mine took me over, and we started working on his house. And I was intrigued by all of his work that he had done, you know, with the many books that he had written and his devotion to Our Lady of Fatima and bringing people to Fatima and teaching them about the message of Fatima and helping families. And so we became friends, and I started speaking with him on a regular basis and really never thought I'd be involved in the apostolate. But I was just, he's the spiritual director for me, too, and it was really started that way, and that's how I became involved really with the organization And that was probably in 2008 before that happened. So right before this book was published, I think it was around 2007 originally.
Very good. And so the name of the apostolate, or at least the website, is FatimaFamily.org. And it's Fatima Family America, if I'm correct?
Yes, we actually, that's a rebrand that we just done this year. It used to be just Fatima Family Apostolate, but I felt like we're really engaged with the people here in the U.S., so we just kind of rebranded it that way, but it's still the same apostolate that Father started, and he started the apostolate in 1986, and so we're continuing to do his work and help promote the message of Fatima for families, and that's what we're doing.
And maybe a little bit about what that message might be. I think a lot of times, or at least for me, I learned about the Fatima message after my kids were a little bit older. I wish I had found it when they were babies, but that didn't happen. So I've learned about it as an adult. For our listeners, you know, maybe what's in the messages for families and what they can do to make that message part of their lives.
Well, I think when we look at it, there's three things that's very important for families in the message of Fatima, and that is what Our Lady said in six consecutive times from May to October, pray the rosary every day for peace. Now, later on, Sister Lucia came out and said, at the time it was peace from wars, right? And that still is true, but it also is peace within your families, you know, peace within society. That's what we're praying for, right? And so pray the rosary every day. That was what she said, and it was really, you know, sticking to that message of praying that rosary. Second, wear the brown scapular. And what the brown scapular does is that it's an outward sign that shows others that you belong to Our Lady. And so we do that in our family. And probably the third thing is to practice the first five Saturday devotions. And that is, and that's kind of what we're really pushing to now is the first Saturday devotion, because it is actually the nucleus of our Catholic faith. When you think about the first Saturdays, you think confession, adoration, the rosary, the Eucharist. You know, all this is inside that first Saturday devotion. If we can get all the families and all the parishes doing the first Saturday devotion, that would definitely be, it would change our society. And so that's kind of where we're at when we're helping families to engage in the message. We really stick to those points. And, you know, inside a family, you also have the things that you deal with. You know, the children are told to do penance, you know, make sacrifices, offer these things up. And that's what we can do on a daily basis individually. And so there's a lot through the message that a lot of people don't really know. And we try to get that information out to them. I wrote a book in 2017 for the 100th anniversary called The Miracle and the Message, 100 Years of Fatima, and it was published by Our Sunday Visitor, and it really goes deep into these different parts for families and the message of Fatima and the lives of the children. And it's the good thing about it, it's a short book, you know, it's only like 170 pages or so. And this book with Father, the Eucharist book, Father, he liked to write, you know, the old days they wrote 300 or 400 page books, and nowadays they're getting down to the 150 to 180 range, you know. But yeah, so we just get a lot of this information out that Father's put together, the information that I put together. We do some video stuff, and that's how we try to help families the best way we can.
Yeah, and the messages you explained were are so important, but for folks that aren't as in tune with those messages, you know, it's one of the great miracles, right, that we actually made the newspapers especially in Europe, when it happened, the final apparition, which was, I believe, October 13th, which we celebrated a couple of days ago, you know, where there were 70,000 people on hand to witness that miracle.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay, yeah, the miracle of the sun, which we just had the anniversary of that, what, yesterday or 2 days ago, and it was just a prophetic apparition to really show that, hey, this message of Fatima is real, is true, and that's what I've always loved about it, is it had so many witnesses. You know, sometimes you'll have people come to you and say, well, the Blessed Mother, I'm hearing this from the Blessed Mother, or, you know, some of the other apparitions, there's only one or two witnesses. And this had 70 to 100,000 witnesses on that miracle on October 13th.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible. And, you know, when you can read about something like that, even in a secular newspaper, it really brings it home. So, you mentioned with the Fatima messages and the idea that comes out of it, the Eucharist, and I don't know necessarily that that people, when they think about Fatima, that the Eucharist is the first thing that comes to mind. They you hear about the Rosary and the five Saturdays, or the five first Saturdays, but not necessarily a direct link to the Eucharist. Is that something that Father Fox brings to light?
Yeah, in the book it comes out, because what happens if people, and that they really don't do this part of the message justice, is when the angel appeared. You know, before the Blessed Mother started appearing in 1917, in 1916, the apparitions of the angel three times, right? And in the spring of 1916, well, the angel appeared at one point, I forget which right now, I think it's the second or third apparition of the angel, was when the children received Holy Communion. And it's kind of interesting, because Father used to tell me that he knew a priest in Fatima that was the nephew of Sister Lucia, and he would ask her to get messages to Sister Lucia. And one of the messages was, what was the most important part of the message of Fatima for you? And so he asked her that, and she said, well, for me, it was when the angel gave us the Holy Eucharist, because that's when everything changed in our life. That's when things were different after that. They saw things differently, and they were really touched, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they really, really could live out this, what was to come the following year, when Our Lady started appearing and all the things that they had to battle, you know, against, with people not believing them, even their parents, you know, at some point. So, yeah, for her, that was the most important part, was receiving the Holy Eucharist.
And so that, obviously, that translates into how important the Eucharist should be in our own lives. And I think I had read that you didn't come up in the Catholic Church. So as a convert, what kind of role did the Eucharist play in your conversion?
It was a big part of my conversion. Before, what started happening was when I started to investigate the church, I had a friend that came from a large family, 8 children, and I was really intrigued by that and their faith, you know, and how they really were into their faith. And I was thinking, you know, that's something that I would want, you know, even though I was a Lutheran. We were in the conservative Lutheran church, which is the Missouri Synod Lutherans. And my dad was an elder in the church, sang in the choir, you know, grew up in a Lutheran grade school, Lutheran high school, graduated from. And so we weren't just, you know, we weren't just nominal faith people. You know, we went to church every Sunday and other different things too. So But when I seen their faith and their dedication, I was like, there's something they have that I don't have, you know, is what I'm thinking. And I remember talking to an older gentleman. I started going to a Catholic group, like a adult group, and just sitting there listening, and that friend invited me to come. And this older gentleman came to me and said, you know what, you need to go into the church and see Jesus. You know, Jesus is in there. And I'm thinking, you know, as a Protestant, you know, Jesus is everywhere, right? You know, Jesus is, and he is, you know, spiritually everywhere with us, right? And I'm thinking, what is he talking about? And so a couple of times after they had this meeting, they started having where you make a visit. And so we started going into the church and making a visit. And then I started reading up on it. I got all the tapes, the Ken Hensley, the Scott Hahn, the Tim Staples, all those conversion stories, right? And I started going through that. And that's what led me to start making visits to the Blessed Sacrament. And I wasn't Catholic. And I started making visits. And then it got to the point to where I worked about probably a mile and a half from the church. And I couldn't drive by the church without stopping. And then I realized, you know what, God is calling me to conversion through the Eucharist here, and then that's what I did it. You know, and it was very difficult because I didn't want to hurt my parents. You know, my dad was kind of not, I wouldn't say anti-Catholic, but close. So it made it difficult, and but I didn't want to hurt them. You know, I wasn't the type of child I was, or you know, I kept praying about it, and I just was praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, help this to be easy, you know, as easy as possible. And so it went through, and you know, they accepted it, and I came into the church in 2000, and here I am. So a lot has happened since then, for sure.
I'll say. So was that before you were married and had 10 kids?
That was before, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just, it's kind of amazing when you look back, and, you know, even when Father came into my life, you know, it was a different, you know, it changed things so much for me. Then I started learning more about the Blessed Mother, and because my wife's family was pretty into like doing the Fatima message, but I don't know if they really knew they were doing it. You know, they always said the rosary and they did the first Saturdays and things like that, but they didn't really talk about, you know, this is the Fatima message. So once I met Father, I was able to understand it better. And, you know, and I'm still growing in the message, you know, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It seems to be a common theme, I think, with us Catholics, especially cradle Catholics. We do things because our parents did them, or the nuns and priests that we had in school told us to do it, but we don't always quite understand why we do it. I remember seeing Jeff Cavins, and he talked about how, you know, when we're coming up, we get this big pile of Catholic stuff, and then when we get challenged, every once in a while we can reach into that pile and pull something out, but for the most part, you know, we can't explain why we're Catholic or why we do the things that we do. And, you know, I thank God for, you know, him and you mentioned Scott Hahn and a lot of the other Protestants that came over to the Catholic Church, because they truly sought the answers. And then once they found them, you know, reinforced them with those of us that, you know, came up Catholic and, you know, took a lot of that stuff for granted.
Yeah, I think they really, really added so much to the church, you know, to a degree that there's a lot more that, you know, sometimes you just take, like you said, take it for granted. And I think, you know, once I started listening to those tapes, and back then it was cassette tapes, you're on fire with it, because it's just like, wow, it makes so much sense. You know, when you hear somebody explain something so in depth and so real that it makes so much sense. But if you talk to somebody on the street that didn't know a whole lot, the Catholic Church kind of looks off, you know, just kind of unusual, I guess is the word, you know, different. But once you have somebody understand, you know, explain what's actually happening here, and that's what Father does with this book, Eucharist, right. Heaven and Earth Unite, especially at the Mass. And I think this is one of the reasons why he wrote the book, is because so many people, he's, you know, being a parish priest for 48 and a half years, he saw a lot of the good things and a lot of the bad things that go on during the Mass, right?
Mm.
And so he wanted to set the record straight on a lot of this stuff too, but also he wanted to give us a better understanding of, you know, like when you sometimes, and I fall guilty of this too, you know, when you say your rosary and you're like, I mean, I got to say my rosary, and you don't contemplate or meditate as much, and you just kind of get through, going through the motions.
Yep.
Well, sometimes that happens to us at Mass, you know, mm-hmm. when we're like thinking about Monday and that work we got to do Monday, or we got to get that bill paid tomorrow before this place, you know. So you're just kind of, this kind of helps you to just release all that, right, and sit there and really take in what has happened at the sacrifice of the Mass.
Yeah, and like you, and I think like most people, we're guilty of it. But then once the light bulb comes on and you kind of realize what's going on, at Mass, it's a game changer. It's no longer that boring thing that your parents were dragging you to as kids. It's so full of life and symbolism, and you know, once you understand what each of the parts of the Mass is about and why we do it, I don't think you can ever say that you're bored anymore. You may get distracted from time to time, but I don't think you can say that you're bored. Just so our listeners know, our guest today is John Price. He's involved with the America Fatima Family Organization. President, are you?
Yes.
Yep. And he's been involved with this republishing of a book by Father Robert Fox entitled The Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite. And it's published by EWTN. Sophia Institute's helping with the distribution. You can pick it up online at EWTNRC.com. That's their religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. I'm not sure how much time you have. John, we're going to take a break in about 5 minutes here, and then you're more than welcome to stay after the break if you can.
Okay, yeah. If whatever you need me to do, I'm here. So
all right, brother.
I got the time.
Okay, so maybe we can get into the book a little bit. We can introduce it now and follow up after the break. But you mentioned that Father Fox, having been a parish priest and seeing what was going on at Mass, felt a need to put this out there. I did start to get through some of it, and he talks early on about John chapter 6. And I remember when I came back to the faith after being away for a number of years, and reading John 6, it was like, how can anybody look at this and not realize that the Eucharist is real? And I think that Father Fox does a great job of laying that out in the book.
Yeah, I mean, it's just examples like that. If you know, the listeners are looking for that type of stuff, that type of information, it'll kind of just give them that, hey, this is something. That's what I love about it. It kind of goes in it's a chronological type book, you know, where I guess the first chapter is the biblical roots of the Eucharist. And, you know, you go back to that too, where, you know, the feeding the 5,000, you know, that's you know, it's just something that's tied in with the Eucharist when you think about it, or the manna from heaven, you know, the bread from heaven. And that's what I love about how he kind of starts at the beginning here and uses a lot of scriptural references to give us for the Eucharist and making sure that we know that this is real, you know, this is real, and this is what was intended.
Yeah, because I think even before he gets into John 6, he's got the Old Testament references with Melchizedek and Abram, and you know, all this being prefigured, because God knew from the beginning of time that this is what the method he was going to use to bring us back or to redeem us, right?
That's right. Yeah, and it's definitely shown here in the book, you know, how the build-up, you know, and that's what I really enjoyed about, because I read the book probably when he published it the first time, maybe 2008, around that time. And then I read it again when the new publishing came out. And I know I got a lot more from it this time than I did the first time. And it's that type of book, too. You might have to read it more than once or use it as a reference, you know, reference material, because there's just a lot of information in there.
Yeah, and I think we find that even with Scripture, right, that our life experience will change our perception of what we read. So I find that all the time with where, you know, Scripture verses that I've encountered before, and I read them again years later, and they have a completely new meaning because things in my own life have happened in between that show me a different shed a different light on what it is that God's trying to get through to us.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, even when you have kids, you know, things change so much.
You think?
Yeah, that's where it really, you really start digging deep and trying to find some answers, you know. And you just, I've grown so much in my devotion to the Eucharist just because of that situation, you know, with children and having a family, you know, having a family from when I was single. When you're single, your prayers are different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you're married, your prayers are different. So it's just a different concept, but it's a deeper when you're married and you have, and you're, as the head of the family, the father's the head of the family, you have an obligation to pray and to bring the family situations to Jesus, you know, and the Eucharist, and that's what I try to do.
Very good. Again, our guest in this hour is John Price, and he's involved in the family Fatima Family America. He's the president, helps to promote the messages of Fatima, and through his efforts, had Father Fox's book entitled The Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite, republished by EWTN, available at their website at EWTNRC.com. John, we're just going to take a short break and we can continue the conversation when we come back. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic Radio Apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at InnoSign Catholic Radio that allows me to be here on Wednesdays and all of our broadcasters to be here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time over 800 a.m. And now that the sun's going down a little bit earlier, might be worthwhile to think about getting the WTMR radio app on your smartphone or tablet, or using your computer at WTMRradio.com to pick up the shows. Our guest in this hour is John Price, and he's the president of Fatima Family America. We've been talking about that organization, and before we went to the break, we're talking about a book that he was instrumental in getting republished, a book by Father Robert Fox entitled Eucharist, Heaven and Earth United. And we just started to talk about the book before we went to the break, John, and talking about the Old Testament references, foreshadowing or predicting what was going to happen with the Eucharist. Were there particular parts of the book that had an influence on your own faith or your own story with the Eucharist?
Well, I think what really, I think the Mass in general, when he started talking about who's there at present at Mass, right? Who is with us? And when we think about all the angels, the saints, all those are participating in the Mass with us there, and you know, I really never thought about that much before. You know, you're just kind of thinking about the sacrifice and what's actually taking place, but you don't realize, you know, this is it's a perfect title for the book, you know, Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite, because that is basically what is actually happening. And I just never really, you know, it never kind of clicked for me there.
Yeah.
But so that kind of touched me. And so, like I said, when we talked about some of the biblical references earlier, I really didn't, you know, you hit those references as much as, you know, unless you're doing like a Bible study or, so when you start reading back that kind of makes it's interesting to, you know, to be able to see some of those references there that you might have read it, but you didn't really think that was kind of tied in.
Mm.
And then, What we're really pushing, you know, in our church today is, and I think is very important, is Eucharistic adoration. And Father talks about that in one of the chapters because, you know, if we can get all Catholics making a holy hour every week, you know, wow, what would that do?
Yeah, amen.
That would be amazing.
No, it certainly would. And, you know, you mentioned about what's going on at Mass and the angels and saints. I remember reading or listening to one of the cassette tapes, so I forget exactly where, and then really starting to pay attention to what was being said at Mass, the actual words that were being used. And all the time in that preface before the Eucharistic prayer, when the priest is calling on the angels and saints to join him on the altar, for what's about to happen. And there's been times where I can actually visualize and see that happening. It was pretty incredible the first time it happened. And to think that, you know, they're all with us at that Mass, and not just the angels and saints. Well, the saints would include our loved ones, right? So if they're in heaven, and I remember being at Mass not long after my mother passed, and just feeling her presence kneeling beside me at Mass, and knowing that she was, you know, knowing that she was with me was pretty was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I think that. I believe you're right there, because you know, you think about it, and when you're really focused, you know, at Mass and focused on what's taking place, there's a presence there that you just can't describe. You know, it's outer earthly presence. You know, and that's, you know, that's why I love when they have the beautiful churches. I'm fortunate. I don't know if you knew this, but I live 1 mile from the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament, which is totally focused on the Eucharist, and they have like one of the largest monstrance in the world, I believe. And so I'm able to go there. I live 1 mile, so like tonight's our family night to go to do Eucharist adoration. We go from like 6:30 to 7:30, and we can go right over there to this beautiful shrine. And I think that's what families really, what we're dealing with today in our society. We know we need more families doing things, more spiritual things. You know, there's a lot of good football games out there. I know that. You know, I'm a sports guy. I like sports, you know, too. There's a lot of nice concerts and things that are good. But really, we need to buckle down. You know, we can see what's happening out here and really focus on what God has given us in sending Jesus to be our Savior, to die on the cross, and to be with us for all eternity here on earth, too, you know, with being present in the Eucharist and truly body, blood, soul, and divinity present for us. And we should be taking advantage of that, you know. And a lot of times we don't. So, but yeah. I want to encourage, you know, people to develop a bigger devotion, you know, to the Eucharist, not just Mass on Sunday, but things throughout the week that they can do. You know, even if it's a short visit, you know, where you just pop in there for a minute to the church and you're driving by and say, let me just spend 15 minutes, you know. And that's what we need more of today.
No, I couldn't agree more. And we see it when there's tragedies like 9/11 or, you know, other things going on. All of a sudden, the pastors are willing to keep the churches open, and people are showing up. But things get a little bit better, and it kind of drops off again. And speaking of pastors and priests, there's a chapter in here, priesthood and Eucharist go together. And obviously, we can't have the Eucharist without our priests, right? We need to continue to pray for vocations. And, you know, if the hands of the priest, without them, there is no Eucharist, right?
That's correct. And you know, Father really was a priest for others. You know, he wrote a pamphlet even, A Priest is a Priest for Others. And that pretty much sums it up. And we need more priests. We need good priests. And without the priests, you're right, we wouldn't be able to receive the Eucharist. And so we got to encourage them also. And we need to be, that's something that we bring before the Blessed Sacrament, you know, praying for vocations. And it's something that we need to keep in our consciousness of making sure that we do that, because we need them, you know, they need us too to a degree, but we need them even more.
Amen.
And I know Father, his great love for the Eucharist, I knew it and I saw it. And I remember Father got in a bad car accident, and when he moved out, after he moved to Alabama a few years after, probably 3 or 4 years after, and he broke his neck, broke his leg, and he had to go to a rehabilitation facility for a few months, like a month or two. And he came home. The first thing he did when he came home was he told me, get my vestments. We're going to have a Mass here at the house. And he would have priests come over there and have Mass with him. But that's the first thing he said when he got home. Get the vestments out. I want to have a Mass. And he'd have a neck brace on. I'd have to help him put his vestments on. It's just amazing to see somebody's great love and devotion. And it makes us you know, when a priest is up there reverent and really going through the motions like he should be and really, you know, because they have the pamphlets, you know, the few pamphlets they send out to say only 30% believe in the Eucharist, only 30% of Catholics. That could be true. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you hear.
Right.
And sometimes you look around in church and you think, yeah, it might be true. But Father really wanted to be a priest for others to that degree, too, to be a good example of how to receive and how to show reverence, to genuflect, and to really give the glory and honor that Jesus really wants from us, you know, how we should treat Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And Father was definitely, and another thing that happened too, Father always wanted to receive the Eucharist and celebrate Mass, you know, on the day that he would die. His Father passed away on Thanksgiving Day in 2009, and the night before that, which was within a 24-hour period, a priest came over and some brothers, and he was able to concelebrate laying in the hospital bed there, and that was in his house. And that's what he always said. You know, he said that, I want to say Mass on my last day on earth. I want to say Mass. He made that a stipulation to me, and he wanted me to make sure that would happen. And I was fortunate that they came over that night. It wasn't the actual day of, but it was, like I said, 6 o'clock that night, and he died around 1 o'clock, you know, the next day.
So, yeah.
So 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
So. Yeah. So like a vigil Mass the night before.
Yeah.
I think it was the same thing with Pope John Paul II with Divine Mercy and all. But that's awesome. And, you know, we that are in the pews, I mean, we notice that, right? I've had, you know, people come to me and talk to, you know, about certain Masses that they've been to and seeing a holy priest offering a really, really reverent Mass, and the difference that it makes is just incredible, to the point, I think, where some people are willing to travel to see one priest versus another. And that's not, I don't think that there's any necessarily bad priests that offer the Mass, but there's definitely some that are more reverent than others.
Yeah, and I think and you can see that it stems to us, you know, where we're hungry already, we're searching, we're really contemplating, and when you see a priest like that, it just you draw to them, you know, they there's something there, there's a holiness about them, you know, and a reverence that draws you to them. And I think Father Fox was a similar, for me, he was a priest like that, you know. I was drawn to him for some reason, you know, and I think a lot of it was because of that.
Amen. Just one more time, our guest today is John Price. He's the president of the Fatima Family America organization or apostolate, and that's endorsed by the Pontifical Council Family. And, you know, does great work in trying to help families unite and come together to pray together and follow the messages of Fatima together. He's also been instrumental in having the book we've been talking about, written by Father Robert Fox, published now by EWTN, distributed by Sophia Institute, and available online at EWTNRC.com. Locally here in the Philadelphia area, I had to stop by the St. Jude shop last Wednesday to pick some stuff up for the ministry, and I did see the book on the shelf, so I know they had at least a few copies available for sale. Like I usually say, if you're going to go out there to make the purchase and you got to drive a distance, you might want to give them a call first to make sure they'll have a copy waiting for you when you get there. We've got a few minutes left, John. Is there anything else you wanted to cover that we haven't gotten to yet?
Well, I think we've covered pretty good bit of stuff here. And, you know, I think I just want to encourage everyone, you know, if they want to learn more about our apostolate, they can go to fatimafamily.org. And we have a lot of information there about our apostolate and there's other books. Father, like I said, he wrote close to 50 books. We don't have all of them anymore. Some of them are out of print, but there's a lot of them on there, and it ranges from parenting to the Eucharist, of course, Fatima, and a lot of things for, like, children, too. So, but I'm just glad that this book is being done, you know, redone, and it's just it's a gem for all of us, because I think we all have to be, it's good to be reminded, even if we know something, you know, it's good to have that reminder to read something, and something that we can go back to, because like I was on another interview, I think on AWTN, and I was saying how much the book, there's just so much information in here, you just can't read it once. You almost have to get you a highlighter.
Yep.
To when you go through this, because there's just so much reference material, and you know, it could be something that could be done in their home with their, you know, adult children, you know, like a Bible study, or you can bring it to your parish Bible study class and go through each chapter. It's set up like that, I believe, that could be some good talking points. So I just want to encourage the listeners to get the book for sure, and there's multiple ways that they can use it to grow in their spiritual journey.
Yeah, that's awesome. Again, our guest in this hour has been John Priest, or Price, rather, and the book we're talking about is entitled Eucharist, Heaven and Earth United, available, like I said, EWTNRC.com. We're locally here at the St. Jude Shop. John, I know you're a busy guy with a wife and 10 kids and the apostolate and everything you're doing, so I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I appreciate you having me today, and hopefully we'll talk again in the future.
I look forward to it, John. Thanks so much.
Okay, God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye now. So it's amazing how, to me, how God operates in different people's lives in different ways. And, you know, it'd be real easy for somebody married with 10 kids to say that they don't have time for this or time for that. And yet God's using him in just a beautiful way. And I don't know how soon I'll be able to get to the rest of this book. I did read the first chapter, the introduction, and well done, and just in the beginning of it, talking about the Old Testament references that really prepare us for what's going to come when Jesus arrives and institutes the Eucharist, even beginning with the wedding feast at Cana, and changing water into wine, and you know how in the Eucharist at Mass we you know, the wine is changed into the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, it sometimes can be hard for us to wrap our heads around how that actually happens, or can it actually happen. And you know, that's where I believe faith comes in. You know, we need to trust that what Jesus said was true, and that when he said that he was going to leave us his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, that you know, we have to believe what he told us. And how many lives I've seen changed over the years now, especially folks that are in recovery that have made their way back to Mass and the sacraments, and the impact that it has on their lives. People that hadn't, you know, walked through the doors of a church in years become daily communicants. We've got a great little group that has Mass together on Thursday mornings, and you know, we go out to breakfast, and you know, sometimes the conversation might be about sports or something like that, but for the most part, we're talking about our faith journey, and maybe about the readings that we heard at Mass, or the Gospel, or some other spiritual topic. And I think that, you know, so many people are yearning for that, and a lot of people, they just don't know it. We throw around a term a lot, that we're all children of God. I mentioned in the 4 o'clock hour, I was blessed to spend a weekend with a couple of guys up in Rhode Island, making some 12-step meetings. I didn't realize there were so many Italians in Providence, Rhode Island. They had a three-day Italian festival for, I guess it happens every year around Columbus Day. And, you know, just, you know, great food and great to be around. And a couple things happen. And sometimes when you're around a bunch of men, the conversation may not always be as good as you would like. And, you know, I reminded a couple of people a couple of times, you know, that everybody's a child of God. And so then they came up with I came up with it. Instead of saying the whole thing, child of God, I was using the word COG, right, an acronym for child of God, and that we're all cogs in this machine called the mystical body of Christ. And I say that because everybody that we encounter day in and day out is a child of God. They were created in the image and likeness of God, and they don't have to believe it for it to be true, right? They can deny it all they want, but the bottom line is that that's who and what they are, and that the same desires that God has placed on our heart for him, he's placed on their heart. And so many people, especially in the world today, are trying to find the answer, to find God, to find that ecstasy that God's created us for in something other than God. And so when we witness to other people, I encourage you to be like St. Francis and, you know, preach the gospel often and sometimes use words. We were talking about that a little bit this morning in reference to today's gospel and how the Pharisees and the scholars are going through all the motions and the prescriptions that were laid out in the Old Testament and following, you know, hundreds of rules and laws and what have you, but their attitudes were completely wrong. And Jesus in the New Testament, in the Gospels, calls them out on it time and time again, you know, to the point where, you know, you come to believe that that was one of the reasons where they had to put him to death, that he was going against everything that they believed, but more importantly, you know, had to be picking their consciences. And when he questioned them on the things that they were doing and saying, that, you know, it forces people to take a look at themselves. And it happens today in our lives, right, when we call people out on their actions and, you know, they need to take a look at who and what they are and what they're doing. And they can either do that and do it with an honest mind, or a lot of times people get so defensive that dig in and they're not going to change, a lot of times just out of spite. And but if we are good witnesses by the lives that we lead, a lot of times we don't need to use words, and we'll get questions about, you know, how can you be happy when this is going on, or how can you smile when that's going on? And it's sometimes the answer is easy. It's because we have faith. We know that whatever is going on, that God either wants it to happen or he's allowing it to happen in order to bring about a greater good. And if you don't have that kind of faith, for, you know, the person that doesn't have that kind of faith, everything's a disaster. And it just, you know, things just keep getting worse and spiraling out of control and what have you. And we know that the opposite is true, that God's in total control. We may not like exactly how he's allowing things to happen, and we're not thrilled about, you know, conflicts around the world, whether it's, a big war or the conflicts that exist in our own households. And there's so much of that today. And part of what we talked about over, it was a 5-hour ride up and back to Rhode Island, you know, and at one point I think we were talking about, you know, the Satan's reign, and it's just about up, and or at least a lot of us believe it's just about up, and his last-ditch effort to divide and conquer and to destroy families. And I think that that's why, you know, what we were talking about with John Price and his organization, the America Fatima Family, and our Fatima Family America, and the role that Our Lady takes in trying to help us as husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, to keep our kids together, to keep our families together. And it takes faith. And especially in the world today, that can be extremely difficult, especially with the messages our kids get, whether it's in college classrooms or social media or wherever they're picking it up. I mean, we can do the best possible job as parents to bring our kids up in the faith. And I've said to people, it only takes one person that they trust to really screw up the works. And so I think now more than ever, we need to pray for families, pray for our kids. They'll come around. I'm watching it in my own family. And God's, sooner or later, he's going to have his way with them. It may take a circuitous route to get them there and for God to get them right where he wants them. But I know because he did it for me that he'll do it for them and others. And when it happens for all of us, like John was saying, imagine a day when every Catholic makes a holy hour. And that day may not be that far off. You know, if things get bad enough and people really need to turn to God, it may happen sooner rather than later. Not that I'm wishing for bad things to happen, but if that's what God needs or God requires in order to make drastic changes, and Lord knows we're in need of drastic changes, he may do it. In the meantime, it's just one person at a time. It's our own sanctity needs to come first and our own witness. And hopefully through that, we get to bring other people along with us. And then once we're on that path, the other thing that we do is invite. And we don't beat people over the head or force invitations on people. We just invite. And then it's up to the Holy Spirit to get them to follow through, whether it's asking them to make a holy hour with you or to go on retreat. I've seen a scenario over the past month with somebody trying to get their daughter to go to church, and every week there's a different excuse, but you just invite and then let the Holy Spirit take care of it. In a lot of ways, it takes the pressure off of us because now the pressure is on God. You know, the flip side of it is that when it does happen, that God gets all the credit, not us. We can't let our heads explode. So anyway, we're down to about 30 seconds. So again, I want to praise and thank God for all of you and thank you for whatever part of the 2 hours you were able to be with us today. And I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. And we'll have Peter DePalma back at least in the 4 o'clock hour, maybe the 5 o'clock hour as well. So I look forward to being with you next week. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care and God bless.